मोकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरी यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं। So welcome once again for the Q&A session. So now we will start with the Q&A session. It's 7:18 and we'll try to do this or go up till 8:05 or 8:10, and then we will have some important announcements and we'll do mantra meditation, and then Karthik program will start where we'll have a devotee speaking on one of the qualities of Krishna. Then very nice sweet kids, they are speaking about different places in Vrindavan, taking us for a Braj Yatra. And obviously, we will have Damodarashtakam Kirtan by our own team. So please be there. The program will go up to 8:45. No, it will start at 8:15 and it will go up to 8:45. Okay, so let me see what questions you people have posted. So let me take some questions on Gita first, and maybe related to the last session as well. So there's a question on art of work. How to identify strength and weaknesses of individual in corporate environment? How to deal with those strength and weaknesses to get work done? How to deal with people with strong principles in corporate world? Okay. Now, I thank Krishna that, you know, I worked in corporate for some time. I'll be able to answer your questions. How to identify strength and weaknesses of an individual in corporate environment. When it comes to strength and weaknesses of a person, it's not just about corporate environment, is what I would say. Whatever strength and weaknesses we have, you know, it's from the past samskaras, from the past karma. Let me explain this very clearly now. What do you mean by samskara? So from many, many lifetimes, we all have been getting different impressions on our mind, on our subtle body. Subtle body consists of mind and intelligence. So the impressions are there on this. And based on those impressions, you know, we have, you know, some sort of swabhava, nature. And depending on our karma from the past, the person has different set of talents. So when it comes to speaking skills, there are some people who are extremely good at speaking. There are some people who are extremely good at coding. There are some people extremely good at managing. There are some people who are extremely good at connecting with people. So like that, we see that people who have got good karma from the past, they are the ones, you know, who are having all these qualities, all these talents. So one point, you know, which I would like to make here is, because everyone has got different set of karma, because everyone has got different set of samskara, and because everyone has got a different set of combination of three modes of material nature, every person on this earthly planet is a unique person. And when it comes to unique person, means unique talents, unique strength. And according to me, after going through the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand there is nothing called as weakness in this world. It's all strength. It's all strength. Because we might feel that I'm weak. When do we feel that I'm weak? When I start comparing myself with someone else, isn't it? Because weak, it's basically a relative term, right? If someone is strong, then you have to be weak. If someone is stronger than you, it means you're weak. So this comparison which is there, that, you know, he is better than me, she is better than me, etc., that actually makes us, or that pulls us down to wrong understanding or misconception that, you know, I've got some weaknesses. Whatever we have got is our strength. And whatever we have got is basically from our own deeds from the past. And everything that we have can be utilized to attain perfection of human form. Now, since the topic has come, I would like to highlight some points here. Now, what has happened is our life is just centered around one thing, that is corporate. That's how our entire life is centered around. In fact, right from our school days, college days, whatever, what are we trained for? We are trained for how can I do better? How can I get more and more salary? And how can I do this? How can I do that? So this is what we have been trained for a long time. And unfortunately, we end up in making or having a corporate-centered life. And we always keep thinking on those lines only. How can I excel better here? How can I do this? How can I do that? Yes. One thing we have to understand is, no, that is just part of life. That is not life. Now, if you want, you write it in bold letters. You know, if you have some paper, pen, or whatever, have, you know, write it in bold letters and stick it somewhere. As soon as you get up, you can see. It is not life. It is just part of life. So strength and weaknesses when we analyze, yes. In corporate world, you know, there is, to very frank, it's useless to analyze the strength and weaknesses because in corporate, what they follow is you scratch my back, I scratch your back, I pull your leg so that I can go ahead. This is what is the nonsensical philosophy that they follow. And you know, they feel that they're doing good. They feel that when they step on someone's head and, you know, go ahead, climb the ladder of corporate, they're very nice. They're successful people. And you can imagine the height of nonsense here, the height of stupidity. The people, they, you know, they glorify such people, who are, you know, who are very diplomatic, who are very good at management, who are somehow, stepping on others, pulling others down, and moving ahead. Oh, those people are glorified like anything. That you're so talented, you're this, you're that. But let me tell you something. No, Krishna does not. Krishna is not pleased with such qualities. So if you call these qualities as strength, then we are not correct. Because what are strengths basically? What are strengths? Strengths are those qualities which we have, which will please Krishna. Because finally, goal of life is to perfect human form of life. That is very, very important. Yes. So in this way, you know, we need to understand strengths and weaknesses in this material world. Is just our conception. No, it is not actually strengths and weaknesses. It is only strength, only strength, because that's what we have gained. And every person is unique, and every person can contribute very, very amazingly to this entire society. We have to just explore, and for that we need a mentor. For that we need a spiritual master. So when we are under a spiritual master and when we are serving, so what happens is, automatically by his mercy. You know, he will tell us, you know, what are our, you know, where do we lack basically. And by his mercy, we can strengthen that part and move ahead on this path, beautiful path of bhakti. So this is a point which all of us can note down, that our life is not just, our corporate life is not our life. It's just part of life. Our life is Krishna. And our goal is to break the cycle of birth and death and attain Krishna. This is what is the goal. So that's what I was telling you in the last class, that if you just move, you know, the current temporary goal that you have put in your life, that yes, this is where I want to be in the corporate ladder, this is where I want to be in my material life, etc. Just shift a bit and put Krishna there. Let the goal of life be Krishna. And you'll see when Krishna is at the top, everything else will fall in place. It doesn't matter, you know, are you strong in something or weak in something? See, finally, Krishna is Paramatma in everyone's heart. Even in the heart of your boss, even in the heart of all your colleagues. If Krishna wants, he can change anything. So what we have to do is have Krishna in the center and work for his pleasure. Work, you know, for betterment of his part and parcel, that is everyone else around in the society. And you'll see the miracles. Like I'll give an example. I'll not name the company. I don't know if there is any colleague of this devotee. So this devotee... He works for one company, and he was telling me that from I don't know how many years, from good number of years, he's been doing work from home. And since he's doing work from home, it's very easy for him to go to different places in India and preach. And you know, whenever he gets time, he works also. And he was telling me that it's all Krishna's mercy. I had an intense desire, you know, to help in Krishna's mission. Every year I keep getting good hike, and I have good time also to practice bhakti, and I have good time to preach the message of Bhagavad Gita. I was like awestruck with mouth open. I was like, we have such cases also happening in corporate. I have another case study where the devotee was not really you know, very good at various things when it comes to corporate, entire dealing with people, etc., etc. But then, you know, he's so nice in bhakti. that Lord is taking care of everything. No, wonderfully, Lord is taking care of everything. Yes. So when it comes to strength and weakness, the only thing that we have to ask is Krishna there on my side or not? If Krishna is there on our side, we are all strong. Remember Kauravas, how many Akshavanis they had? 11. And how many Pandavas had? Only 7. But still, who won? Pandavas. Why? Krishna was there on their side. When Duryodhana was looking on the army of Pandavas, he was saying, okay, they are weak as compared to us. We are very strong. But then, externally, it might seem that a person is weak, a devotee might be weak externally, but internally, no, he's very, very strong. In the background, he's very strong because he has got Krishna with him. So, if we really want to become strong anywhere, in corporate or in personal life, in social life or whatever, we just need to invite Krishna into our hearts. That's it. We need to invite Krishna to our homes. This is what we have to do. And once we do this, who can stop us by becoming strong? And once we do this, we will realize there is nothing called as weakness. Everything can be used in service of Krishna. Everything. And when it comes to your second question, how to deal with people with strong principles in corporate world? Really, we have people with principles. Yeah, maybe. About they might have some principles when it comes to work. So it's basically their pre-notion, preconception, whatever. So they have fixed something for their own self that this is how I'm supposed to work or whatever. So to deal with such people, like last time we said, especially corporate means passion. Passion is leading all the time. So like in the Sunday session, we said, right, that somehow or the other, we have to make sure that we understand which mode the person is in. And then if we feel that he's too much passionate or whatever, so we need to just tolerate at times, whenever needed. And then we have to make sure that we don't have a tug of war with that person. Yes. We have to be intelligent enough to deal with passionate people. Because we have to, we also need to get some work done. And they also want some work to be done by us. So we need to be a bit smart and intelligent, when it comes to dealing with such people. But the key is, somehow or the other, we need to tolerate such people in our life. There is, in fact, not just passionate, anyone for that matter. Because our bandwidth will not match with many people, whom we deal with. We might not resonate nicely. So at that time, we need to just tolerate and just carry on, with our work. That is very, very important. Whatever, your office work or homework or whatever. You can carry on with the same enthusiasm, patience, and determination. These three words are very important. So whenever we go low, be it corporate life or be it any part of our life, we need to revisit these three points. Enthusiasm, determination, yes, and patience. Do I have these three? If no, then we have to build these three. And how can we do that? By spiritual practices. It's my own experience here. When devotees are getting trained, when they don't have these three, but slowly when they start practicing bhakti, when they become fixed up nice devotees, without their notice, somehow these three things manifest. Somehow. Right? So the key or the bottom line, to this question, not just corporate life, social life also many, many people struggle. Family life also many, many people struggle. Personal life also many, many people struggle. So for all of them, the only solution is we have to become fixed up devotees. Currently, we are dicey devotees. Sometimes we are here, sometimes we are there. Sometimes Krishna exists, sometimes he doesn't. Not for us. Maybe when we are attending Sunday and Thursday sessions, Krishna exists. Other times, maybe not. So somehow we have to become fixed up devotee where we are very good at our daily sadhana, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, reading Bhagavad Gita, applying the principles of Bhagavad Gita in life, and having the goal as to break the cycle of birth and death and to attain Krishna. So if we have these three aspects in our life very very clearly, such a person is called as fixed up devotee, having complete faith in Krishna. So we have to become that. And you will see, when we become fixed up devotee of Krishna, nothing in this world is difficult. Nothing. It is described very beautifully in Shastra. that the problems in life are like big rivers, very big rivers, huge, violently flowing rivers. But as soon as someone accepts Krishna in the heart, as soon as someone starts worshipping Krishna, as soon as someone has intense faith in Krishna, that huge river, violent, turbulent, fast-flowing river, which is there, that reduces and reduces and reduces and reduces and reduces, and it becomes like a structure. Please imagine the structure which I'm going to tell you now. It becomes like a structure which is a calf's hoof print, not cow, calf. Calf's hoof print. So when a calf is walking in a soft mud, muddy land, so there, when it places its foot, so there will be a mark that will be made. Hoof print, that we call it as hoof print. And then when water gets filled in that, how much water will get filled? This much. Yes. So that huge river becomes as small as the water filled in the hoof print of a calf. When someone holds Krishna in the heart. Yes. So this is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. These are not my words. The verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. So anyone who does this, then what this material life is? What will be difficult for him? Yasmin tushte jagat tushtam jagatam ishvar ishvare. When Krishna is pleased, what is impossible for a person to do? When Krishna is pleased with a person, what is difficult for that person to do in his life? So this is what is my answer to all the questions which revolve around this point. That how can I do better in this particular field? How can I do better in that particular field? How can I manage this? How can I manage that? The answer is this. Hold Krishna in the heart. Everything else will fall in place. And this is not a theoretical statement. This is a very, very practical statement. Maybe it will be difficult to realize now. But maybe 2-3 years down the line, you will come back to me. Or you will come to a forum like this to share your experience. That how, when we give Krishna the first priority, everything else falls in place very, very nicely. Hope this answers your question, and also others who had similar questions, hope this answers your question as well. How to plan for good progeny when husband is not a devotee? Nowadays, I'm not reading any motivational quotes. Not even following any motivation speaker, because again, where they will make me confused. I used to follow Sadhguru, one of his video. He had told, if you want to make kids or not, it's your wish. If you don't want kids, then don't do. It's something like contributing to humanity. But you told after marriage, we should have kids. It's mandatory. I'm scared after the kid is born, how to give good sanskar, because my husband doesn't follow any rules and rituals, don't do puja, and he eats food, watching YouTube funny videos all 3 times a day. If I say eat food without watching anything, he don't like that. He will change the place and go and sit with mobile and food. This is one very simple thing that he does. So many things which will not make him good dad. What I should do? And start feeding prasad to your husband. So I think I answered this question in one of the session. So those matajis, those mothers who are practicing bhakti alone and their husbands are not supporting, simple. Chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day, very nicely on beats. And take bath properly and with good consciousness. Take bath, chant the holy Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with good consciousness, enter the kitchen. Now the kitchen should be clean, properly cleaned. And then with that consciousness, singing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, cook nice, delicious food for Krishna. And offer that to Krishna. Have a photo of Lord Krishna. You can ask your mentors how to do offering. Anyways, we'll cover this in the advanced sessions after we complete the Gita course level 1, how to do offering. But if you want it immediately, talk to your mentors. They will help you out. Offer it to Krishna with love and devotion. And take that, which is now prasad, and feed to your husbands. And you'll see. You'll see the miracle. There are so many husbands who have become devotees. So many. So I don't think your husband will be an exception. So many people have become devotees. The only thing is we have to put endeavor. We have to make sure that, you know, we cleanse ourselves early morning, taking bath, and while taking bath also we can chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That will cleanse us internally, and the nice soap and water will cleanse us externally. Wear clean clothes, enter the kitchen with good consciousness. Make sure the kitchen is clean and the cooking items all are clean. And with that mood of offering something to Krishna, loving offering for Krishna, cook very nicely. And then take that same and offer it to Krishna, now physically by chanting some mantras. If you don't know any mantra, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 3 times. Close your eyes, chant that, and you can leave that place. After 5 minutes, you can, you know, come and collect the prasadam and beg forgiveness from Krishna, saying, "If I, you know, committed any offense, please forgive me. Now I don't know much. I'm still a learner. I'm a toddler, but now I want my husband." And many people have in-laws problem, so you can pray this also: "My husband and my in-laws to become nice devotees." And if you do this every single day, all 3 times, if you feed prasadam, you know, to your family members, I bet, and I can give you in writing that surely they'll become devotees. Surely, no doubt about that. Because we have seen so many people become devotees like this. Hope this answers your question. Let me take some more questions. Let me take some life questions. There were some questions on, you know, various aspects of life. I'm an emotional person. Small things affect me a lot, and at the same time, I am a short-tempered too, because of which I end up reacting to the situations, while during that time, my mind still tells me to listen to what you have been learning in Gita sessions. But I am still unable to control my reactions. How to overcome this? So, see, there is no quick fix solution for this. Now, please understand. This is ingrained in our consciousness. Our consciousness has become contaminated. Yes. So, since our consciousness has become contaminated, this has gone deep inside our consciousness. And as soon as, you know, something comes from opposite side, we immediately react. Immediately react. So when it comes to bhakti, one thing which I keep telling all the time, in fact, I think last few sessions I've been repeating this for all of y'all, that we have to be consistent in our devotional practices. So when we are consistent in our devotional practices, what will happen? Slowly and steadily, we'll see the consciousness will get cleansed. See, I'm not a motivational speaker. I don't want to speak any motivational talk that, yes, you can do it. You have the potential, 100% this and that. You can achieve it. Do this, you do that. I'm very clear from Shastra that consciousness is contaminated. That is the root cause for all the weaknesses that we have in our life, especially when it comes to dealing with people or our anger or whatever, which we call it as a weakness. So that is because of contaminated consciousness. Yes. And because of that, you know, all these problems will manifest, the short-tempered nature and, you know, whatever you have mentioned. And even, you know, some people have this problem of being over-lusty and over-greedy. So all these problems which are there is because of contaminated consciousness. Very beautiful shloka from Chaitanya Shikshastakam, the first verse. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. So this is a long shloka. Maybe, you know, I think last time I chanted in Thursday or Sunday session. So the first line says, Cheto darpanam arjanam. So our consciousness is currently contaminated like a mirror with full of dust. So the mirror is full of dust. You cannot see yourself. You will not be able to identify who the person is. In fact, it will be opaque. Opaque. So when we cleanse that mirror very nicely, you know, take a cloth or, you know, whatever, water, and cleanse it very nicely, what will happen? Then you'll be able to see yourself. And this is called self-realization, where we are able to see yourself, where you're able to understand yourself, where you're able to realize yourself. That's what is currently missing. We have become so bodily conscious that anyone points to this body and speaks something, you know, we immediately get flared up. We are angry like anything. But when we become self-realized, when the consciousness gets cleansed very nicely, what happens? automatically, you know, we'll be able to handle, you know, that particular situation. In fact, you know, our response to that particular reactive situation will be so nice that the other person will melt. Other person will melt. So how will this happen? Cheto darpana marjanam, how will this happen? Cleansing with our constant, consistent practice of bhakti. Unfortunately, this is what is our situation. Please hear carefully. Especially the professionals, engineers, doctors or whatever, and other professionals. For us, you know, we have you know, in our companies, and then meeting the deadlines, whatever. So we are so used to, we are so used to getting instant results. And in bhakti, when we don't get instant results, our motivation falls down. It reduces and eventually falls down. So one thing we have to understand is bhakti is a sure shot solution for all such problems related to, in fact, related to any field, especially to the consciousness. So as of now, all our consciousness are dirty. There is no exception. All of us, 130, which includes me also. So all the 130 participants, including me. So our consciousness is dirty. With time, if we are consistent in bhakti for a good number of months and years, you will see that how this the problem from the root will be removed and thrown off. Materially, we don't have any solution which can pull the problem from the root. But bhakti is that solution which pulls the problem from the root and throws it off. Another very nice shloka from Upadeshamrit, which says, I'm not remembering the Sanskrit lines, long time I recited. Anyways, I'm not getting that. It has some line like, Pitoptarasanasya naro chikano. Kintva anudinam khalusaiva jushta. So there are a few lines like this which says that currently our Syat Krishna nama charitadi sitapa vidya pito parasanasya naro chikanu kintvadarad anudinam khalusaiva jushta swadvi kramad bhavati tad gadam mula hantri. So this particular shloka says that currently our situation is like the jaundice afflicted situation. That is what is our current situation, because our consciousness is contaminated. So for a person who has jaundice, what happens to that person? If you give some sugar to him to eat or some sweet thing to eat, he will feel it bitter. So it says, Syat Krishna nama charitadi sitapa vidya. So currently whatever devotional practice we do, currently, it will feel a bit bitter. Like we'll not have much taste. The taste that we have for this material world, we might not have that much, for doing this. But then when we keep practicing very nicely, kintvadarad, respectfully, anudinam, every single day, kintvadarad anudinam, khalusaiva jushta. And then what happens? Swadvi kramad, slowly and steadily we start getting taste in bhakti. And what happens at the end? Swadvi kramad tad gadam moolahantri. All this problem that we have related to consciousness, that will be pulled out from the root. Tad gada moolahantri. From the root, this problem will be solved. So yes, every single day we need to practice bhakti. Anudinam. Every single day. And then we do that with patience. Very, very important. I have to make this point. And even in my PPTs, I should make this word patience very bold. When I give sessions to corporate professionals like all of y'all. Why? Because that's what is missing in our life. We are very much, so impatient. Immediately results we want. Immediate. Deadlines, right? We are used to deadlines. Immediate. Here also in bhakti, immediate. And Krishna says, if you want immediate, get out from here. Get lost. You have to wait. You have to have patience. I will answer your prayers when I want. That's what is the mood of Krishna. But he will answer. He answers all our prayers very nicely. So the solution to your problems, question is wonderful. You have asked about your personal problem, that how to handle the short-tempered nature, emotional nature, or whatever. So all that, And along with the other, you know, all the others who have got similar problems related to lust, greed, etc., all that will be solved when our consciousness gets cleared, cleansed very properly. How will that consciousness get cleansed very properly? How can we pull out the problem from the root? If every single day our practice of bhakti is strong, we have to give our sadhana the first priority. Now, we cannot pull down the sadhana saying, okay, I'll do it later. No, first priority. As soon as we get up, we should start our day with sadhana. Okay, except for, some other engagements are there, early morning mandatory engagements. Okay, understood. But then if we are free, then we have to make sure sadhana is the first priority. Chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, reading Bhagavad Gita, hearing Bhagavad Gita, and maybe watering Tulsi, all that should be there as our first priority. And you will see the change. We have seen that in so many people's life. Why will it not help you? It will surely help. Another question. I have a question and it's bothering me way too often. How to get rid of the thoughts about bad phase situation in life? Something has had happened and somehow we overcome that phase. No matter how long that painful journey was, but after years also, when you sit down to meditate or chant, those thoughts will still bother. I'm sure many of you will be having this question. Yes. It might be regarding some situations, some nonsensical thought, something will be there from the past. I'll give you a technical answer. I'll not give you an emotional answer. Question is emotional, but I'll give you a technical answer. So consider a box. And there are 10 red balls in that. Okay, 10 red balls. And then you put one white ball in that. Now, when you close your eyes and put your hand in that box and then you pull out a ball, tell me, what is the probability of getting the white ball in the hand? 10 red balls and there's only one white ball. What is the probability of getting that one white ball? Very less. Very less. No, it will be like 1 by 11. Yes, that's what will be the probability. So it's very less. And what about the 10 red balls? 10 by 11. There are 10. 10 of them. So getting that red ball will be very, very easy than getting a white ball. Remember this analogy? Now I'm going to relate that to our life. So currently, whatever impressions that we have on our mind, the strong impressions, like you're talking about some situations or some phase in your life, or some drastic, critical, abominable situations that we have gone through in our life. So all that have made strong impressions. Those are like red balls. So now when you sit for meditation, so if only red balls are there in the box, red balls will come out. Simple. Red balls will only come out if only box is filled with red balls. But then we have to cover those impressions with, positive impressions, especially the impressions of bhakti, because bhakti impressions are very, very strong. So when we practice bhakti in our day-to-day life, it is like putting the white balls every now and then. Why? What is the need of doing Swadutsav? What is the need of doing Deepotsav? Why there is any need of description of Krishna's form? Why is it so important to see Abhishekam of the Lord? Why is it so important to offer a ghee lamp to the Lord? What is so important, or why is it so important to offer Tulsi to the Lord? Why is it so important to see the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Why is it so important to hear this Gita sessions regularly? Why is it so important to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra regularly? Because all of them will create an impression on our mind, and these impressions will be like white balls. You go on putting. So when that entire box which was there, which has got only 10 red balls, now when you fill it with 100 white balls, when you sit for meditation and just put your hand in the box and remove the ball, guaranteed it will be a white ball. Probability will be very, very high. So the point that I'm trying to make is, we have got all nonsensical impressions from our past. All of us. None of us are spared from this. None of us. Except for those kids, all your kids who are practicing bhakti, because of all of y'all, who are very sincere, and all of y'all who are taking a very great interest in progressing on the path of bhakti, your kids will be fortunate. Because right from childhood, they're practicing bhakti. So for them, it will be easy. They will have only white balls. They'll not have red balls. Even if red balls are there, it will be very, very less. Very less in number. But for us, It's only red balls which are there in our consciousness, in that box. So mind is like that box. And you just shake and try to remove a ball, the probability of the greater number of balls will be greater to come out when we pull out some thought, right? So now what we have to do, consciously, we have to make sure that we have good impressions on our mind, especially the impressions of bhakti. All the activities which we keep telling in our sessions, those are not sentimental activities. Those are very, very logical activities. When you take darshan of the Lord, it is recommended, you take darshan from the lotus feet, go up to the lotus face of the Lord. Why? Because then you capture, from your HD camera, yes, 4K, you 4K in our camera is very, very, very nice quality one. So when we start, taking darshan of the Lord, the impression that is there in our mind becomes very strong. Impression of Krishna. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that impression becomes strong. When we are offering Tulasi to Krishna, that impression becomes strong. Now we have Swad Utsav. We will be having darshan of the Lord. You will be offering Bhoga to the Lord. That impression, will be there. That will become strong. Deepotsav, that wonderful darshan that we had, that will have strong impressions. So basically all these activities that we're doing in our Gita courses, how can I forget about our Gita course sessions, where we're directly understanding Bhagavad Gita. Those are forming impressions. All of them that we're doing on these Thursdays and Sundays are creating strong impressions. Those are like white balls. So my recommendation to all of you all, and this is not my recommendation, I shouldn't take the credit. Recommendation from Shastra for all of you all is, try getting more white balls and putting more white balls in this box, which is called as mind. Red balls you cannot remove. Red balls will be there. You cannot remove red balls. But you can fill the box to such an extent that only in bottom red balls are there, and all through the top are only white balls. And then you just close your eyes and remove. You'll have a good thought. You'll not be tortured by those situations that you've gone through. See, in all our Q&A sessions, I'm giving a permanent solution. I'm not a person who speaks, beats around the bush and gives some superficial solution and make people happy, so that they clap for me and things like that. We speak from Shastra, and Shastras give permanent solution. And permanent solution might take some time to implement, but with enthusiasm, we should implement. Surely, if we are sincere and serious, then surely, this problem will get solved. No doubt about that. Hope this answers the question of all the devotees who have got similar problem. Now, let me take another question. I'm sure you'll never forget red ball and white balls. Okay. So the next question is... Okay, this is a very, very personal question. I thought of not sharing this, but it's unbearable pain. Need your blessings. My husband is a narcissistic person. Suddenly he will show so much love, suddenly insults, lies for no reason, so short temper. He will have problems with everyone's behavior and with any situation. He wants everyone to understand him, act according to him, but he don't want to give respect to anyone. He's very dominating. He abuses me, my family, and everyone around. He's very jealous of other people. Whenever I'm listening to your videos and will be in online Zoom session, he don't like that at all. He will abuse you also. I try to calm and ignore maximum, but he crosses all the boundaries, and at last I will shout and cry. This will keep repeating. He will think it's all doesn't matter to me. I'll be okay again. He is not leaving me to live my life peacefully. So that's a very, very sad situation, which you're putting forward. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for not sharing your name. So yes, unfortunately, we have been got together with those people with whom, we need to exchange some aspects in this life, which we have left it incomplete in previous life. And somehow or the other, these people are put together in the same family with us, so that we get purified in our day-to-day life. As I always keep telling, I don't know in how many classes I've repeated this, I always keep telling that every crisis is an opportunity to attain Krishna, to get closer to Krishna. Whenever we have problems in life, especially a serious problem like yours, it's a day-to-day problem, as you're saying. No, we should use this crisis as an opportunity to get closer to Krishna. Kunti Maharani, she's offering prayer to Krishna. She's saying that, oh Krishna, when we had problems in our life, we were able to remember you. Now when you are leaving from Hastinapur to Dwarka, we are fearful that we'll forget you. Oh Krishna, I beg at your lotus feet that give us more and more suffering, more and more problems. Can you imagine this prayer which Kunti Maharani is making? She's making this prayer because very, very logical. Obviously, please don't make this prayer. No, she's making, what I'm saying is, she's making this prayer because it's a very strong point, which is made in Srimad Bhagavatam, that whenever we are in crisis, we remember Krishna intensely. There was one nice pastime of Gajendra. So Gajendra was in severe crisis. He was caught by a crocodile and he was, there were only a few moments left with him, we can say. The crocodile would have killed him. But then in that painful situation, elephant Gajendra, he took the shelter of the Lord and he started offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very, very beautiful prayers. And when he started offering that prayer, Lord Krishna came to help. So in our life, one thing, that is recommended, especially, for such situations, which we are going through, depend on Krishna. Depend on Krishna. Do intense devotional service. Yes. Maybe the situations, we might not be able to change. Obviously, as you said, your husband speaks something about me also. I don't take any offense. I understand that he's doing that because of the past sinful deeds and various negative samskaras which he has got from many, many lifetimes. Now, that is what is making him do that. In fact, I would say even that is not his mistake also. He will be helplessly driven, towards doing all these nonsensical activities. Like we understood that in the last session, when mode of ignorance prevails, when it predominates, the person is helplessly driven to do all nonsensical activities. So he is helplessly driven. So understanding that and understanding that Krishna is the eternal shelter and ultimate shelter for everyone, we should depend on Krishna. And trust me, in the crisis, when we cry out for Krishna, when we depend on Krishna, we become amazing devotees. We advance like anything on the path of bhakti. See, finally, our goal is not to live a peaceful life here, peaceful family life here. And family life is never peaceful, isn't it? Never. There is some problem, some or the other problem. Sometimes people come and say, that Prabhuji, I started chanting and all my problems went away. And I'll give a smile. And my smile basically means, don't worry. There are lots waiting outside your door. Very soon they'll ring the bell and enter one by one. Because this dukkhalayam, Baba. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This world is dukkhalayam. How can you expect sukha in this world? But, as I keep telling, the goal of life is not to search for sukha in this world and to settle in this world. But goal of life is to attain the ultimate perfection, breaking the cycle of birth and death. And ending this nonsense forever. We have been stuck in this world, Baba. How long? How long we want to be in this world and keep searching for happiness like searching a diamond in the garbage? How long? Every situation is painful here, isn't it? So this is what we recommend. That depend on Krishna. And dependence on Krishna is like remembering Krishna all the time, chanting his holy names. Yes. And not cursing the Lord. Or not feeling ungrateful to the Lord. Yes. I'm sure there'll be some wonderful qualities which your husband will also have. There is no person who does not have any good qualities. Surely he will have some. Now, surely, he'll be helping you in some or the other way. Surely. There is no doubt about that. And majority of the time he might be troubling, but there'll be some points when he'll be helping and taking care of you all. So at least remembering that we can be grateful to the Lord. So with gratitude, when we practice bhakti in these critical situations, don't know if the problems will go away or not, but surely, we will be in such a transcendental state that problems are there or not there, it hardly matters. It hardly matters. Yes. So, One thing which I can do immediately for you is and request everyone, all the 131 participants, that please pray, you know, please pray for this Mataji who is going through such critical situation. And, you know, I offer my personal prayers from the bottom of my heart that, you know, may you, you know, get closer to Krishna more and more by practicing bhakti intensely. And, you know, may Lord give the right intelligence, you know, to your husband as well, so that he also becomes a nice devotee and your entire family practices bhakti very nicely and intensely. Remember, the key is feed prasad. All the Matajis, please don't forget. Keep your consciousness proper, chant the holy names, enter the kitchen with pure mood, make sure the kitchen is clean, cook nice bhoga, you know, without onion garlic. No, onion garlic is not, we don't offer it to Krishna. So without onion garlic food that you cook, offer it to Krishna with love and devotion. Feed that, you know, to your family members. It will act like slow poison for all the nonsensical entities which are dancing in their heart. They will all die. All the entities which are there in their heart, you know, which are making them do negative activities, all those entities in the heart will die because of the slow poisoning. If your bhakti is intense, it will act as high dose of poison also. It all depends on how intense is your devotional service. Hope this helps you in some way. Yes. I feel really small sometimes, you know, when I answer questions, you know, to all of you all, because sometimes the situation is very critical. Problems are really heavy. And I feel very small to answer these questions, but I thank, you know, my spiritual masters, Srila Prabhupada, entire Guru Parampara, who has bestowed their mercy on a, you know, lowly person like me. And you know, obviously the Shastra which is there, which Prabhupada has given us. You know, because of all this, you know, we are able to get some solution and some good permanent solution to all our problems of life. We should be eternally grateful, you know, to everything that we have got, you know, currently now in our devotional life.